This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montagne.
They live by a six-gun. By a six-gun they die. It's been a long time now since the town was a boom. The jailhouse is empty.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities and Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason in on this Wednesday morning, the 29th day of July. Good morning. Let's take a look at the numbers as they're trading in Chicago at the CME Group. At this hour, futures are down 8¾ cents in the September at 5.02 for the soft red winter wheat. Hard red at 4.99¼, down 5½ cents. September corn futures at $3.70¾ or 4¼ cents lower. December at $3.81¼, down 4¼. And next year's July down 4¼ as well at $4.03¾. August soybeans on their last tick up 10¾ cents, $9.85½ to trade. November at $9.50½, up 5¾. January beans for the day 5¼ higher at $9.56, and July up 4¼ at $9.51¾. Bean meal futures at $3.50.90, up $5.70. Bean oil 33 cents lower at $30.33. Live cattle futures at $144.92½ are down 12½ cents. Feeders are unchanged at $211.25, and lean hogs for the day $1.40 higher at $80.87½. On the line with us to take a look at these numbers and talk a little bit about the trade and expectations for the rest of the day is Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good morning to you, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Todd. How are you?
Well, I'm doing very well. I first want you to take me back through the last, several sessions, the slide in the marketplace. Give me your evaluation of what happened to cause corn and soybeans to really plummet over the last week.
Well, I think there are a number of things that are going on, but probably the biggest is investor concern about China. There's no question. And then when Monday came, you know, last week Friday it looked like we were stabilizing. Monday would be overnight for us, but it was the daytime for them. They lost 8.5% more on the Shanghai. Yesterday they lost another 1.7%, and I think, you know, it was magnified on Monday too by the idea that crop ratings were going to really increase or improve here in the United States, and we didn't really see any change on the beans at all, even though I've taken it one step further and looked at it based on acreage. If you base it on acreage and where the acreage is located, provided that we've got the acres, it did improve, but not enough for them to make it any higher. And so I think we've just seen another thing going on in the background here. You know, we talk a lot about black boxes and about the funds, and last week on the down, the funds were actually adding positions. Monday came and we saw the funds sell 30,000 corn. Prior to Monday, when the corn was up, corn and beans were up, we saw cattle down. On Monday, we saw everything down. And so it says to me that the funds are pulling in their horns and waiting to see once what's going to happen. Today we have the Fed coming out. Is there going to be an interest rate increase? They doubt very much it would happen today. But this whole China situation is concerning. You know, the People's Bank of China says, it's going to pour all kinds of money into the economy to try and stabilize it. But it seems as if they're just grasping at straws right now to try and get themselves straightened out.
I'd like to talk a little bit about that. And you and I have not had this discussion, but I'm wondering, because what you read about China, at least about the bubble that began to burst, was that over late 2014, early 2015, the Chinese government was asking its citizens to invest. I think that's right.
In April of 2015.
In April of 2015. So very recently.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about that a little bit, and thinking, hey, wait a second, rather than using the banks, they use their people to invest to try to hold up, prop up a system. Is that the way you read that? I mean, that's the way I read it, or at least
that's the way it is. In fact, when you read more about China and you really look into the bottom of it, that's how they've always operated. You know, they basically, the Chinese people, their savings is usually in the stock market is where it is. The stock market is the government. You know, and so they've always encouraged them. You're right. Back in late 14, they did start to encourage people, and not a whole lot changed. In the beginning of 15, they really started to push it. And, you know, by the time that this April 21st thing went out, encouraging them to come in even more, they'd already gone up 80% since the first of the year. And so, you know, they really have created a major situation, because this last group of investors, this last 38 million that they had by the beginning of June, are a lot of people that the bank has poured money into that do not have high school educations, do not have very good jobs, and yet they lent them money to go into the stock market. So now the key comes down to, will they continue to lend them money to prop up the losses that they've had? You know, what are they going to do? And I think that's basically what's bothering everybody, is what is the People's Bank of China going to do? And, you know, the Communist Party has really got themselves between a rock and a hard place, because the amount of Chinese investors in their stock market is much bigger than the members of the Communist Party.
Yeah, but so back up. I want you to clarify something, because I haven't seen this, but I don't read as much. I'm pretty busy doing other things. I haven't read as much about this as you. So your suggestion is that in April they asked their people to invest.
Yeah.
People borrowed to invest rather than using. So the banks are in twice already.
Oh yes, the people, they encourage. Yikes. And the People's Bank of China encouraged them to do that. You know, when you think back, okay, this is the way it went. Okay, April 21st, they put out a commercial statement saying that the people should trust the government and invest in the, you know, invest in the government, invest in the stock market. Okay, the next day, the investment surged. By the time that we got to June the 1st, 38 million new retail accounts had been opened. The majority of those people without an education, the majority of those people who borrowed money from the People's Bank of China to be able to go in. And in June, when we had the churn down, in one day, they wiped out as much as the entire French and Spanish Dow Jones value. And then they surged back as much as the entire Russian Dow Jones value, okay, stock market value. I always compare it to our Dow Jones. But stock market value. And so they've been lurching around. Now, of course, they continue. So just to kind of put it in perspective, we're talking trillions of dollars that have been lost. And now we continue the loss on Monday and on Tuesday. Today we're kind of stable. At the moment, you know, but I guess what it comes down to, my big question, Todd, was why would they do this? Why would the people follow this like blind sheep? And they said in the heyday of the Communist Party, they used to predict how big the harvest was going to be and how big the petroleum production was going to be, and then they would manipulate the numbers. And so the people, in general, believe that they have some type of prophecy ability, you know. And so... It's bad.
Let me ask a different question then, because essentially what has happened, or at least it appears to happen, is we've taken the top off of their stock market. But I don't think it has yet to really drop through the bottom. So what is the impact on the rest of the globe at this point, if anything? What is maybe more importantly the fear of the impact?
Well, the fear is that we could drop another 15% or maybe even 20% yet. I think the People's Bank will try and do everything they can to prevent that, because the one thing they can't allow to happen is what happened in Brazil and in Argentina, where people start to take their money out of the bank, you know, and start to exit the stock market. They can't afford to have that happen, and that is what was happening somewhat.
Very quickly, I'm going to turn you, because we only have about 35 seconds here.
Okay.
Does it mean China will not be in the market for soybeans?
It doesn't necessarily mean that, but it could mean that China will be in market for the cheapest soybeans, and that might be South America rather than us.
That's what we need to know. We'll take more of it up this afternoon during the closing market report. Thanks for bearing with me this morning.
Not a problem. Thanks. Talk to you then.
Talk to you then. Jackie Vakes, of course, is with Stuart Peterson. She's from right here in Champaign County and does join us on Illinois Public Media. This is WILL AM 580, WILL FM 90.9, HD3 Urbana. The numbers in Chicago are about 5 cents lower in the corn, up 5 to 8 in the soybeans. Wheat futures are off a dime for the day. Bean meal futures off 39 cents. Bean meal up 50 and bean oil down 39. Live cattle futures are 25 cents lower. Feeder cattle down 2.5. Lean hogs are $1.42.5 higher. On the outside markets at this time, crude oil is up 79 cents. Gasoline is down 0.2. Ethanol futures are a tenth of a cent lower. And diesel fuel for the day is about 0.8 higher. It's trading at $1.61.3. A quick look at the forecast tells us we're on our way today to a high of 87 degrees with a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. I'm Todd Gleason.